2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak. And his head caught hold of the oak, and he was taken up between the heaven and the earth. And the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, "Behold, I saw Absalom hanged in an oak." And Joab said unto the man and told him, "And behold, thou sawest him. And why didst thou not smite him there to the ground? I would have given thee 10 shekels of silver and a girdle." And the man said unto Joab, "Though I should receive 1,000 shekels of silver in mine hand, yet would I not put forth my hand against the king's son. For in hearing the king charge thee, for in our hearing the king charged thee and Abishai and Ittai, saying, 'Beware that none touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise it should have wrought falsehood against mine own life, for there is no matter hid from the king. And thou thyself wouldest have set thyself against me.' Then said Joab, 'I may not tarry thus with thee.' And he took 3 darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men bare Joab's armor, compassed about, and smote Absalom and slew him." Dear ones, this afternoon we've had just set before us in these beautiful verses in Hebrews to gaze up in the glory, to see that one at the right hand of God. In a previous meeting, we were brought together by the Father to look back in time to that blessed one hanging from a tree. And we have here in this portion, as brother said, that the Bible is a book of contrast. Here's a contrast for our souls. A beloved son of the Father, Absalom. His name means Father of Peace, or Peace of the Father. He was neither one. He didn't bring peace, he brought war. And he didn't bring peace to his father, he brought trouble to his father. How did Absalom die? He died hanging between heaven and earth from a tree. And I believe the Spirit of God has given us this account here as a contrast. This wicked son, a contrast to the beloved Son of God. How did he die? He died with 3 darts thrust through his heart, yet he wasn't dead. It says that the 10 young men slew him after. The blessed Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, in his heart, having been rejected, denied, betrayed by men. What a grief to his heart. The blessed Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, being made sin. In his own heart, being made sin, bearing our sins in his own body on the tree. What a grief to his heart. The blessed Lord Jesus hanging on the cross, forsaken of God. I just would suggest these thoughts in connection with these 3 darts in the heart of Absalom. And then he dies. And the Lord Jesus on the cross, he gave up the ghost. Verse 18. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale, where he said, "I have no son to keep my name in remembrance." And he called the pillar after his own name. And it's called unto this day Absalom Place. Absalom wanted to be remembered. He wanted to be remembered. You know the Lord Jesus? He wanted to be remembered, didn't he? And he's given us this place to come around him and to look back. Because there were no hearts at that day, in that dark hour, to respond to his. So he wanted us to be there to remember him as we have this morning. Well, this is a time of bad news for David's family. And they have to bring the news to David. So verse 21. Well, let's read verse 19. And then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how the Lord had avenged him of his enemies. That's what Absalom had been to his father. In fact, he wanted to kill his father. There's so many contrasts between the Lord Jesus and Absalom. This absolute contrast, you might say. And to Joab and others, this was glad tidings, you know. The Lord had avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings today, this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bring no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way to the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall, and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, me thinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. The king said, he is a good man, and cometh with good tidings. And Ahimaaz called and said unto the king, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord the king. And the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me, thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. And the king said unto him, turn aside and stand here. And he turned aside and stood still. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord had avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king, and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt, be as that young man is. And the king was much moved, and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And he went thus, he said, we had these verses yesterday. O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee. O Absalom, my son, my son. Verse 4 of chapter 19. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. David was a father. He was a failing father. And perhaps as Joab reproved him, he overloved Absalom. But you know, hard for a father not to love his children. And I include mothers in that. I trust none of us, parents, have had a son or a daughter like Absalom. David had one. And he wept over that boy. The father grieving for the son. And I believe, dear ones, that God the Father has given us this portion to reveal to us in a measure, whatever measure we can be brought into, something of his heart. You know, many years before, he had Abraham rehearse what he was going to do, calling Abraham to give his only son, whom thou lovest, and to offer him as a sacrifice. Abraham never did that. But God says in Genesis 22, he says, because thou hast done this. What had he done? He had mimed before God the very thing that God Himself was going to do. So here we have a grieving father over a wicked son. Can you and I ever imagine what it meant to the father to be silent to that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When in his spotless soul's distress, he tasted the rejection, the forsaken, the betrayal of all his own. When his soul came in contact with that which his nature, holy nature, abhorred, and when his soul was left alone on the cross. I don't have words. But I see this grieving father, and I see a picture in it, a small picture, of the heart of my Father in heaven for his son. And I see a picture in this of my Father in heaven in his heart for his sons and daughters. You grieve over children, dear ones, that are parents here? I don't need to confess before you my failures as a father. I have failures as a father. I have failures as a brother. I have all sorts of failures in my life. And I have no words for you that have never failed, but just keep on never failing. But for those of you who might be akin to myself, failing here and there in your responsibilities perhaps, I have a word for you. Don't give up. Just keep on. Keep on. And get that sentiment from the heart of God that we need to go on and hope. Well, this man, Ahimaaz. You know, sometimes we say, words are of little comfort. Ahimaaz, why did he expend all this energy to run to the king and not tell him the news? Well, I believe, you know, one brother, and we're talking about that, his Bruce, we talked about that a little while ago, and he said, there's a picture there of a man running up the platform, I'd say, and not having anything to say. And I wouldn't want anybody to get stuck like that. You know, I don't want to be talking down to you, but I could be at the same level as you are. But I come up here because the Lord has laid this on my heart this morning so preciously, you might say, and brought tears to my eyes. And that's why I want to share this with my brothers and sisters. But, you know, coming up on the platform, having nothing to say, that's not the way of God. But sometimes, you know, we might not run up to the platform. We can run up to our brethren. Say, we're praying for you. There's not much we can do. But we can feel for you. And Ahimaaz, he felt for David. He knew something of David's heart. And all he could do is run there and suggest to David that perhaps it wasn't good news. That's all he could do. He didn't want to tell him the news, but he could prepare David for the bad news just by his being there and his zeal. Why did he run so fast? Why expend all that? That's all he could do. And he came and he was set aside after he'd spoken to the king. Then the king got the good news. And then we have this reaction. Well, you know, I have a desire in my heart to be like Ahimaaz. I have that desire. I trust you have that desire too. I'm sure you do. And I have a picture that came to mind from the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 26. Exodus chapter 26, verse 1. Moreover, thou shalt make the tabernacle with 10 curtains of fine twined linen and blue and purple and scarlet with cherubims, or cunning works thou shalt make them. The length of one curtain shall be 8 and 20 cubits, and the breadth of one curtain 4 cubits. And every one of the curtains shall have one measure, and the 5 curtains shall be coupled together, one to another, and other 5 curtains shall be coupled one to another. Here are these this assembly of the tabernacle, which was God's dwelling place. And there was that covering. There were two of them that were assembled together. This one here, which had all these beautiful colors, presenting to us pictures of the person of the Lord Jesus, and there's so many precious thoughts concerning the tabernacle. But the next verse, it says, verse 4, thou shalt make loops of blue upon the edge of the one curtain from the selvage of the coupling, and likewise shalt thou make in the uttermost edge of another curtain in the coupling of the second. 50 loops shalt thou make in the one curtain, and 50 loops shalt thou make in the edge of the curtain that is in the coupling of the second, that the loops may take hold one of another. And thou shalt make 50 tashes of gold, and couple the curtains together with the tashes, and it shall be one tabernacle. You see, this tabernacle was held together by these loops of blue and these golden tashes. And it says in the end of verse 5 that the loops shall take hold one of another. And I was asking the Lord this morning, I said, Lord, I have this portion on my... What are these loops? I can show you these loops right now. I can show you my loop. It's right here. But mine is empty. But I saw this loop this weekend here. I saw your arms around the brother, and I saw the brother's arm around you, and you were looped together, holding on to each other, one by one, with the love of Christ in our heart, that golden touch. You know, the Lord had the people sit by groups of 50 to feed them. And we have these 50 tashes. I'm sure there's many applications to this, but I just enjoy that. These were held together by these loops of blue. Heavenly relationships given to us by God. The earthly ones are wonderful, but the heavenly ones we have these. You know, the Frenchmen, we talk with the hands. But the Englishmen too, you have loops just like we have. We have the same loops. And we can embrace each other. And that's perhaps all we can do sometimes in times of distress. All we have is tears. We have no words. And I'm sure you've all experienced a lot of this in this area. We've heard, my wife and I, have so many difficulties and grievous situations in the past and things that are going on now that are grievous to parents and as children. Other ones are sick. But we have this resource through the Lord of one another. So David had an Ahimaaz in his court. He did what he could to relieve his grief. He couldn't do much. Things couldn't be changed. David had a real heart for that boy, and he grieved. You know, when that other child died there after he committed sin with Bathsheba, after the child died, he got up and he kept on, you know. I'd like to encourage you, dear ones. This brother just spoke on that before, the sympathy of the heart of the Lord Jesus for us in our circumstances. And you know, the waters of Marah, they were bitter, and they put a piece of wood in there, and the waters were made sweet. And I have to confess, I don't know much about this kind of affliction, and I would ask the Lord to spare me. Perhaps I couldn't bear it, like some of you have. But I believe there's a resource for us in the comfort of God. He's the God of all comfort, the Father of mercies. And I would suggest to you, as we consider the heart of the Father, the heart of our Father, what it meant to Him to give His Son, what it meant to Him to be silent when He cried, what it meant to Him not to intervene when we spit upon that Blessed One. And those darts were thrust into His heart, you might say, and He did not intervene. That in your sorrow, and in those things that have been allowed in your life, you would have a measure now in your heart of feeling, an ability of feeling, which I don't have. That you could commune with the heart of God the Father concerning those very things. And find a way of going on. Having your hearts enlarged. Mine can't be enlarged like that, and I'm not asking for that. But for you dear ones that are going through those deep waters, that there would be this ability for you to feel with the heart of the Father concerning the Son, and then concerning His sons and daughters. You know, we had this morning. The heavens opened. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Would you allow the thought this afternoon that the heavens are open and that the voice is coming from God and says, these are my beloved sons in whom I am well pleased. That the same love wherewith He loved the Son, He loves us. He has that feeling in His heart of a Father for us. And you know, God invented fathers. God invented emotions. God invented tears. I think of these golden, these loops there. You know, I think a teardrop, it looks like a loop to me. It's nice, you know, when we mix our tears with one another. And I believe we can mix our tears with the very tears of God. The Apostle Paul, a man of God, a man who had the revelation from the third heaven, he was a man of tears. Oh, may God grant us to be men and women of tears, feeling for each other, holding on to each other, not criticizing each other, biting our backs, loving each other. The other covering there, the goat, the one that was made of goatskin, it was also held by loops, and the tashes were of brass. And that would speak to us of righteousness, the goal, divine love, and divine righteousness, the position we're brought into, and then, as we live in this world, that this would characterize us. Divine affections, one for another, in the path of walking together in righteousness before God. May God bless His word to our hearts.